Some call it the law of unintended consequences. This is certain. One day, Satan will reap what he never intended to sow. His great gamble of turning traitor to God has resulted in devastation on earth. And for him, it will mean eternity in a burning lake. Where do you and I fit in? Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Satan's ultimate doom is inevitable. In the meantime, he seeks to trip up believers as we run life's race. Today, Erwin Lutzer concludes a message on Lucifer's greatest blunder, a look at a fallen angel who now exists only to destroy.
You see, Satan is the prince of this world, and yet he cannot organize this world. You know what he's proving? He's proving that he can only be a destroyer. He can never be a builder. He's proving that even with his awesome power, he cannot bring about unity. He can only bring about division, confusion, conflict. And he is proving, ultimately, that he is not wise. He is not wise. I say that carefully. He is very, very intelligent, but he's not wise. And what a difference there is. Do you realize that Satan is so intelligent that while I can't prove it, I would suspect that he knows that I'm preaching about him this morning at Moody Church. He's probably been told that by some of his underlings who are under his authority, who are assigned to this part of Chicago. He probably knows it. He doesn't like what I'm going to say, but he knows it. He is very intelligent, but he isn't wise, because if he were wise, he would cease and desist all activity against God instantly. You know why? Because every time he wins a battle, he loses. Every single time he wins a battle, he loses. Of necessity, he loses, or God would not be God. You say, well, wait a minute, I don't know if I agree with that, you tell me. Because after all, look at the havoc he's causing. Look at the Christian leaders who are falling into sin. Look at the Christians who are bound by satanic spirits. Look at the way in which he's blinding the eyes of the world lest they see the gospel. And you're telling me that every time he wins, he loses. Absolutely. Because I want you to know, among other things, that every time he opposes God and gains so much of an inch, his judgment in hell is going to be all the greater. All the greater. He is heaping up a tremendous amount of torment. He would be better off to give up the battle right now. Stop all activity against God. But he doesn't do it. Because evil says, no matter how bad it's going to be in the future, I get some perverted satisfaction of taking on God now, and that's all that counts. And now we come to the final point of the drama. Stage 4, everlasting torment. Turn to Revelation 13 and then also chapter 20. Keep your finger in both passages of Scripture, because I want you to see the highs and the lows. Revelation 13, verse 7. We're in the middle of the tribulation period in this discussion in Revelation, and Antichrist is ruling, controlling totally. Antichrist is Satan. And it says in verse 7, "And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him." Isn't this mind-boggling? That Satan has authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, except a few, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Everybody else is worshiping him. This is his most glorious moment. It's his most glorious moment. Here's a proud, egotistical being consumed with a sense of his own beauty and importance, hating God with an incredible passion and hating us with the same passion, because we are standing with God. Therefore, tremendous fury against the saints. And for one brief moment, all of the things that he has ever wanted have come to him. All that dwell upon the face of the earth worship him, every tribe, every family. And he's getting all the glory. Wow. Do you think he's enjoying it? Oh, only in a very, very perverted way, because he is in torment even when this is happening, because he knows that this moment of glory is so incredibly short. So short! It's gone just like that. Turn to Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, who deceived all the nations, yes. He was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, his accomplices, and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that's what happens when somebody takes on God and says, I want a piece of the action. You know, all this glory going to God. Oh, glory to God. What about me in this? I get some glory too. That's where it ended. We've entitled this series, What is God Up To? So what is God up to? A number of different things. Just one for you to remember today. God is proving the utter, total futility, as I have already said, of any being that stands in opposition to him. That anybody who takes on God and resists the Almighty and says, I will not submit to his authority, I'm going to do my own thing. Any person like that, of necessity, by divine law and sovereign decree, must lose. Or else God wouldn't be God. God's taking thousands of years to give man a good chance to take him on. And to give all the demons of hell who fell with Lucifer a good chance to take God on and to organize rebellion. And look how far he's come. Look how far he's come. Nothing but despair and futility. And so you see, Satan reaches out and he wants to take that exotic bit of pleasure and put it in his mouth. And so, way back when, he reached out and he took it and he put it to his lips and it turned to ashes, degrading substance in his mouth. And so he reached out and he wanted to be God, and so he took his hand and he went for the handle of the sword because he wanted to rule, and he discovered that as he reached out and he went for it, he actually caught the blade and he's wounded, humiliated. Do you know that in addition to the pain of the torment in hell, do you know that one of the greatest torments that Satan will face is not just the pain that he's going to face, though that's awful. It is the total, abject, unbelievable shame and humiliation. And that's all that he's going to have to prove to himself how great and wonderful and how beautiful he is. Now I want you to know today, folks, that every promise that Satan ever makes, every promise that the world ever makes, of necessity must be proven to be false. That only what God says is true. Some of you are believing lies that say this: if I take care of myself first, if I don't yield all my life to God, if I keep a compartment of it to myself, I will be better off because this is the way to happiness. After all, I cannot endure yieldedness to the Almighty. His demands are impossible. Because you know right well that if you submitted totally to him, you'd have to break some relationship that you're involved in, and it's a nasty process of breaking it. And some of you say, well, you know, if I really submitted to God, what about all of the things that he's given me. I'd have to begin to think about what to do with the gifts and the money that he's given to me. I would have to reorganize my time. And submission to God is not where it's at. I need to keep a part of my life to myself and keep it under my control rather than yielding to the will and the purposes of the Almighty. And you know that to that extent you are deceived and will find that of absolute necessity, I don't want to repeat myself, but I need to say it one more time, that of necessity you will lose out because no one who opposes God ever wins. Period. And that's it. There was a young woman who lived in immorality, rebellious. She knows better than God. She knows better than the church. She knows better than the elders and the deacons. I heard this story many years ago. The young lady's name was Toni Jo Henry. She lived somewhere in the South. And one day in a relationship with her boyfriend, which didn't work out, and they never really do work out, do they? Come to think of it, she ended up killing him because of a dispute that arose. And later on, when someone visited her in jail, she made this profound statement. She said, "You know, I knew that God ran the whole show. But," she said, "I thought I could steal one small act. That's all that I want is one small act." Oh, boy. Isn't that a commentary on all of us? We know that God runs the show, but oh, we need one small act to ourselves, and it is that small act that becomes the seat of a whole host of troubles. Because God says, no person pitted against me can ever possibly win. You know what the good news is in this conflict? That not only did Jesus Christ win a moral victory, but when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he won that victory against Satan, God was able to remain just and yet to justify people, to cleanse them from sin. Because you say, "Well, Pastor Luther, I come today to Moody Church with all kinds of things in my life that are impure and that are wrong." Jesus Christ's death was such a sacrifice for sin that God says, "I can acquit any person who believes in him." And so that the past can be wiped out and so that the future can become a future filled with a blessing of the living God. That's why God's greatest gift in all of the mess of this world is his Son. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What good news to proclaim in a world that is filled and torn with evil and strife and uncertainty and rebellion. There is hope through Christ our Savior and our King.
You've just heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding his message, "Lucifer's Greatest Blunder," part two of his series on What is God Up To? Next time on Running to Win, Erwin Lutzer explores a new theme, Mankind the Casualty. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. We believe this current eight-part series will help you understand God's overall plan for the human race. What is God Up To can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Box 11-174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.